Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. And tonight we are going to talk about Michigan's Michigan State problem. It's clear. There's an Ohio State problem too. There's probably a big game problem in general, but there's definitely a problem, a Michigan State problem that Michigan has, and we're going to attempt to quickly discuss it. I do have to keep it short. I know, and I say this every single time, I really, really do have to keep this short, guys, tonight. Before we get started, I want to tweet out the live link, but I want to remind everybody, if you're new to the show, thank you for watching the live stream here on my YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, share. You can also listen to the audio-only version on iTunes, and you could get it on Blog Talk Radio, the FanRag Sports channel on Blog Talk Radio, and it's also on Google Play. So, and don't forget, search on Facebook, like Sports in the Mitten, follow on Twitter at Mitten Sports MI, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Adam Biggers 81. So, if you guys give me 1 second, real quick, I'll tweet out this link. And open up the chat board. Aaron Wise, hey Aaron, how's it going? Aaron, good call on that game, man. Justin Green, hey Justin. Jeremy Turner, hey Jeremy. Jeremy Turner, 31-17 was my prediction. Yeah, I had 17-14. If Michigan got that Hail Mary, that would have happened. If Michigan didn't turn over the ball, three interceptions from John O'Korn, that fumble by Ty Isaac. I mean, 5 turnovers in general. This was a game that, again, another winnable game. And this isn't the same as 2015, the last second, because Michigan played well enough to win in that. Michigan played probably at its worst this season and still had several chances to win this game. So that's kind of the perplexing thing to me. And I think if you're a Michigan fan, I jokingly tweeted earlier, this would be kind of a free therapy session and talk you guys off the ledge. The Wolverine season is not over. It does take a lump, and obviously losing to Michigan State hurts, but it is not over. Ken Horvath's in the room. Hey, Ken. Dwayne Hill says quarterback is the problem, but waiting on Harbaugh recruit a quarterback. Quarterback is a problem, Dwayne, and I'll get into that real quick. Aaron Wise says, thanks, man, not how I wanted it. And I want to say there was a couple people who predicted Michigan State win as well. So Go Wolverine says, the difference between this and last year seems to be Jed Fish leading for UCLA and Pep Hamilton coming in. What do you think about this? Go Wolverines, I can get on that for sure. I mean, look what Jed Fish is doing with Josh Rosen, right? I know that Jed Fish and Wilton Spate had a really close relationship. I know that if you look at the offense last year, it averaged 40 points per game. It was one of the most efficient passing offenses in the Big Ten. Wilton Spate, you know, I cite these numbers all the time, second in the Big Ten in completion rate, third in quarterback rating. He had the third fewest interceptions of any Big Ten starter. He never threw 3 interceptions in a game. And here's the thing. A lot of people have really taken a crap on John O'Korn. And I cannot put this loss on John O'Korn. I mean, yes, quarterback play has been an issue this year, but I can't put this loss on John O'Korn. Look at that offensive line. I mean, it's getting to the point right now where I can understand where fans are pulling out their hair, banging their heads against the walls, and have had it, you know, up to here or whatever, all those things that we say. I can understand that because this offensive line is holding the offense back. It seems like the route running. I mean, if you look at those fade routes, and I think for Masterful's pet, actually, if he's watching, he pointed this out on Twitter. I mean, the one thrown to Sean McCune, Sean had to even run out of bounds to make a play on the ball. I mean, that it's a, I mean, I don't know where to start. I do want to say, I'll get into a couple more of these comments real quick, and I do want to talk about the right side of the offensive line real quick, too. Ken Horvath says, running backs are costing us fumbles and missed blocks. Mike Zabrowski, hey Adam, I feel we have to take a loss, but I feel it's best to do it earlier than late. Remember, Penn State got blown out by us last year, then went on to win the Big Ten. I mean, that's absolutely true. And again, guys, it's not like the season's over. I mean, still 4-1. Still going to be, you know, a top 15 ranked team. It's number 15 in the FWAA Super 16 poll right now. Rhonda. Oh, hey, Rhonda. She's in the room. She says Drevno needs to go. The play calling, Tim Drevno's offense is not looking. And I'm not so sure. This was asked, by I forgot who asked it. They asked the player, you know, the play calling, and the reply was, I have no idea. And I don't know if it's just because they didn't want to answer the question or whatever it was. But, I mean, it is a mixture between Tim Drevno and Jed Fish and Jim Harbaugh. And as far as, you know, the contents of that mixture, you know, is it two parts Jim and a third of, you know, two-thirds Jim and or two-thirds Drevno and Pep? And, you know, who knows? We don't know the combination. So, Dwayne Hill says, right side of the offensive line need to open up lanes better. And, guys, real quick, let's get on the right side of the offensive line. I want to talk about this because, and I just wrote about this on FanRag Sports, and I posted it on my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. So go ahead and check that out. Follow on Twitter, at FanRag_U, and at FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com. I'm going to just read directly from it real quick. With 13:26 to play in the second quarter, right tackle Nolan Aluzio, first-year starter and redshirt sophomore, was beaten by Spartans defensive tackle Jacob Panushik, who cleared the way for Joe Bocci and helped force the Wolverines quarterback John O'Korn into an uncomfortable throw to Grant Perry. The result was a 9-yard gain. The right side dodged a bullet on that one. And I feel like that's when we started to see that play right there. I started to see, okay, this right side is going to get, it's going to get ran tonight. About roughly seven minutes later and following a negated 50-yard plus touchdown to Kakoa Crawford, you guys remember the play, the right side took another step in the wrong direction, allowing Spartans tackles Gerald Owens and Kenny Willekes to push O'Korn to another off-kilter attempt. That one went into the ground, so near Chris Evans. So again, another play where John, even though he is elusive, I mean, even John couldn't escape this pressure. I tweeted, it kind of reminded me a little bit of when Michigan State got all over Devin Gardner. And remember when Devin was sacked like six times, John was sacked four times. So the next series after that, and it's the second to the last series of the first half, that's when the switch came. And Juwan Bushelbeede replaced Nolan Aluzio. Jim Harbaugh told me it wasn't a plan. Coaches just decided to make the switch. He didn't really know, you know, how far in they were going to go. But I imagine, you know, that an entire first half, you know, minus two series, and Nolan was having struggles. I mean, I imagined it was going to be at some point. So when I saw Juwan Bushelbeede run out there, and Mason Cole told me they didn't know. They just it just happened. It's not like, you know, when they got in on the sideline and everything and said, okay, we're making a switch at right tackle. And if they did, that, you know, I don't know. I wasn't on the sideline. I'm going by what Mason Cole told me. So at that point, Juwan Bushelbeede's first play at right tackle, guys, and he was torched on the outside by Kenny Willekes again. And Kenny Willekes was great for Michigan State. And he failed to protect O'Korn. They gave up a 7-yard sack. Michigan was on its 4-yard line. And that led to a 3-and-out. And that was kind of it, right, for the right side of the offensive line tonight. So go ahead and read this, guys. Again, I posted it on my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of it. But figured I'd cite a couple specific plays. And again, I'm not one of those guys who likes to go out and aggressively, like, I'm not trying to attack a player. You know, I'm not going to write a column that says, you know, player X sucks. That's just not my style. But I think that there's a fine line between constructive criticism and then just kind of going overboard and, you know, people letting their emotions, they want to call out, especially people who are Michigan fans who cover Michigan. So they want to get, they're a little more emotionally invested in it than I am. So, I do think that the right side needs to be addressed. I do think that Nolan Aluzio, I mean, being a first-year starter, he did win the job in camp. I'm not sure, you know, I'm wondering, John Runyon Jr. was in there too, and Mason Cole said that Nolan and Juwan battled throughout camp, and it is an issue. If there is one player on the offensive line that I think has just not played nearly up to par at all, it is Nolan Aluzio. And again, I think it's fair to criticize. Once you start getting... And guys, I saw after this loss a lot of, and I'm not saying any of you, most of you guys are pretty sensible, but a lot of just like hateful tweets directed at these guys, and a lot of just, I mean, I can't imagine it. So again, remember, these guys are 18 to 22, maybe even 23. I think Wilton Spate's 23, 22, something like that. They're young guys. They're just trying to play football, and, you know, middle-aged, unathletic men sitting back in their recliners, and this guy sucks, but, you know, I mean, lay off that. I don't agree with that. So, Anyway, let me get into these comments. I don't. AU Slave says you could probably get Nussmeyer back soon. I don't know if they want Dougie back. AEIOU Slave. I'm a Gator and I feel for you guys. I thought y'all were better than that. That was crushing. Got to suck it up. Get ready for the rest of the season. Mike Zabrowski says he really liked Doug Nussmeyer. I don't think Devin was the right quarterback for Doug Nussmeyer. Devin Gardner. Cameron Clark says Drevno needs to go. Can't call plays. Can't coach O-line. And got, well, the tackles guys, that's Greg Frey. Greg Frey is the tackles coach. So make sure you're directing your, you know, this guy needs to go. Fire this coach. Make sure you're directing it at the right one. Tim Drevno does not coach the tackles. And let me see. Back into Mike Zabrowski. And this is a great point, Mike, right here. And I think you made this on Twitter. He said, if we could suffer 5 turnovers to 0 and only lose by 4 points, we have a really good team, elite defense, and I could see us cleaning up the offense. And that's one of the major points, I think, that's important to remember as I'm, you know, trying to, you know, talk people off the ledge. And it's like, look, it's not the end of the world. I mean, again, I predicted 17-14. This was a game, 3 interceptions, that fumbled by Ty Isaac. I mean, we're looking at plenty of opportunities where Michigan could have, I mean, we're looking at 5 offensive drives where Michigan could have gotten a touchdown. And I just want to look at some of these stats too, because guys, a lot of these statistics, I mean, sometimes they could be misleading. We talked about that with Michigan State to Notre Dame, but I mean, let's look at this for Michigan. Total yards, 300 for Michigan, 252 for Michigan State. Rush yards, 102 for Michigan, 158 for Michigan State. And I said the team that rushed better, and I think one of you guys made the point, I think we kind of set the bar at 100. Whoever rushed for 100 was probably going to win this game. I didn't see either team going into this having a lot of success. I thought this was definitely going to be a game dominated by Brian Lewerke and John O'Korn. Well, it was certainly the pace was dictated by Brian. Most definitely. Michigan had 198 pass yards compared to Michigan State's 94. Michigan State had 11 penalties for 81 yards. Michigan had 7 for 53. Michigan had 17 first downs. Michigan State had 13. Michigan converted 5 of 17 third downs. Michigan State 2 of 14. Michigan State 0 for 1 on fourth. Michigan 1 for 1. Total plays 74-62 Michigan. Both teams averaged 4.1 yards per carry. Or per play, rather. Both teams were 2 for 2 in the red zone. Michigan held the ball for about a minute longer, 30:52 to 29:08, minute and a half longer, I think. Am I doing my math right? Something like that. Anyway, turnovers 5-0. That's the big glaring stat. Michigan State only got 7 points off those 5 turnovers as well. And look, we're talking about a 14-10 loss. Michigan State 4 sacks, 0 by Michigan. Tackles for loss, 6 for Michigan State, 5 for Michigan. So if you just look at those stats right there, I mean, this is certainly a game, and the 5 turnovers, this is certainly a game that Michigan should have, in theory, if Michigan played like I expected Michigan to play, Michigan should have won this game. But at the same time, I said, don't think these are the Michigan State Spartans that got blown out by Notre Dame. That was kind of a flash in the pan and an anomaly. This team is closer to what we saw against Iowa, and this was not, you know, the cleanest performance by Michigan State. At the same time, I thought that Darryl Stewart was pretty good for them. I thought Felton Davis, big catch to extend a drive late in the game. Madre London, I mean, they got the run game a little bit, but the most important factor for Michigan State was far and above Brian Lewerke. And when he took off for that 16-yard rushing touchdown and he dove in the end, that to me right there said it all. So, and I mean, Mo Hurst couldn't get him. Mo was the main one in pursuit, coming up from behind. Rashawn Gary tried to come off once Brian broke loose, started getting the second level. You saw Rashawn starting to pursue, and at that point it was still too late. So, Justin Green, to be on. TBH should have been like 8 times. TBH, what do you mean? To be honest, should have been 8 times. Sacks, probably. Rhonda says, why isn't Drevno on the sideline like he was in year one? I don't know, Rhonda. AEIOU slave. I'm just going to call you Vowel slave. It's easier. It kind of got lost in the flurry, but man, good for the Michigan State fans. Huh? Some happy people right now, and they're your fellow Michiganders. So, well, AEIOU, Up here, it works a lot like it does in Florida. I'm sure that you're not a huge Seminoles or a Canes fan. I think Spartans and Wolverines fans do get along, but right now it is a pretty sensitive time. And I'll tell you guys this: walking from the parking lot, I could just the stuff that I was hearing and walking through the crowd. You see Michigan State fans, you see Michigan fans, and there's all the jokes and everything, and some of it, I thought there were a couple guys who were probably going to get in a fight, which wouldn't be advisable because security was pretty tight there. But it gets pretty heated, so I don't think Michigan fans are happy for Michigan State because they're Michiganders at all. A vowel slave. But I do appreciate the comment. Thank you. Four Masterfuls. I'm late. Yes, you are. But I wanted to say between the offensive line, quarterback, and play calling, wide receivers gotten away with some much deserved criticism. Can't seem to create separation when John O'Korn scrambles. They don't move. That's another thing. It's stagnant play at wide receiver, and I think part of that is inexperience. I think part of it, I don't know if it's play calling, if it's route running. I mean, last year it just seems like Amara, Darbo, and J.U. Chessen, those guys just found ways to get open, and you're not seeing that, with Donovan Peoples-Jones. You're not seeing. I mean, Eddie McDoom created separation, couldn't catch that. That was a huge drop. And Tristan Jackson, on the other hand, for Michigan State, had a huge drop too that may have resulted in points. But that drive, in the fourth quarter, McDoom just dropped that ball. That was costly. Mike Zabrowski says, "We didn't lose to Michigan State. We lost to Michigan. I still feel, and call me crazy, but I feel we can only lose to ourselves. We are that good. I am staying positive and optimistic that we will prevail." That is a certainly glass half full analysis, Mike. CJ Mike 1024 says, "I think it all comes down to play calling on the offensive side. I don't like the whole Pep calls plays along with Drevno." Big Bubble Blue says, "What's up? Sorry I'm late." No problem. Go Wolverines. When you have a -5 turnover ratio, you're never going to win a football game. And I would be willing to bet there has never been a team in the history of FBS. Well, but maybe one. Some random. You're not going to win. 99.99999% of the time, you are losing that game. Even a -3. I mean, let's, just three. Your quarterback throws three interceptions, you're going to lose. That's usually a given as well. Again, another comment about offensive play calling. Big Bubble Blue says, "Offensive play calling looked awful. Too many screens. Spartans always play their best against us." And guys, I want to get the Michigan State problem. Is this because, and I don't know if it's, I don't, I could tell you this, that the players that I talk to, it is a big rivalry. Is it bigger for Michigan State? I mean, I don't know. The past 8 out of 11 years, they've won. Michigan State has won. Mark D'Antonio, regardless of the situation. And I mean, last year, I thought that Michigan State played at times well enough to win, but that was definitely a game. But I mean, we look at in 2015, they come to Ann Arbor. You look at this year, Michigan State is always prepared to play Michigan. And it doesn't matter the year, it doesn't matter the rankings. And it seems like Michigan is not prepared to play Michigan State. And I don't know if it's because if they're looking ahead a little bit, getting a little cocky. There were a lot of former Michigan players before, I saw on like Snapchat and stuff. A lot of these guys extremely cocky. And I thought that it was a little odd because, these guys have one or two wins against Michigan State in their careers. And I do think that a little bit that maybe, I'm not saying that Michigan doesn't give Michigan State the respect that it deserves, but I think with the eye on the bigger picture, playoff, Ohio State, Big Ten championship, okay, well, yeah, and there's Michigan State, this rivalry game. For Michigan State, I don't care what anybody says, Mark D'Antonio plays it down. Michigan, this makes Michigan State season, and we look back at bad Michigan State teams, and they could go 6-6, 7-5, 5-7, which was certainly the norm. But a win over Michigan made the season, and I think in the back of Michigan State's mind that that's still there. And even though Michigan State is a much better program now, I think that sense of urgency and the sense of preparation is on Michigan State. It favors Michigan State. Any more questions, guys? I do have to keep it short a little bit tonight, but I do want to address it. But again, Michigan has a Michigan State problem. Michigan has a rivalry problem right now. But I mean, specifically looking at Michigan State, there's, I mean, 8 of 11, I think, is really the only number that matters right now. And 1 and 2, Harbaugh's 1 and 2 against Michigan State. Those are the only numbers that matter right now. 8 of 11, 1 and 2. I don't care if next year that Michigan has a great quarterback situation and is top 5 ranked at, you know, going in this Michigan State game. None of that matters. It's Harbaugh's 1 and 2. Michigan State's 1 8 of 11. Because look at this. Last year, Michigan State was a 3 and 9 team. You know, I expected Michigan to win this game. I think a lot of people did. But none of that mattered. 3 and 9 didn't matter to Michigan State on Saturday. You know, a 9-point loss to Michigan last year didn't matter to Michigan State on Saturday. What mattered to Michigan State was that it had won 7 of the previous 10. That's what mattered to Michigan State. For Masterful says, some of those favorable stats for Michigan are misleading. I must say, I think about it, MSU was getting turnovers, working with short field, so first down and time possessions won't be for them. And that's true, for Masterful. That's a great point. But I'm just saying, statistically, you look at it and with the 5 turnovers, and you just don't see your, this is a game, to me, if I just looked at box score, you know, just looked at numbers and go, how did Michigan lose 14 to 10? Oh, okay, 5 turnovers. Well, okay, now I see it. But yeah, definitely, if you watch the game, Michigan State, short fields, efficient drives. Justin Green says, I think it's time to unleash the Pete. TJ Bellware says, I think it may be time to move on from Tim Drevno. I don't know. Tim signed an extension. They all did. Kakoa just isn't and never was a number one wide receiver to me, says Ford Masterfuls. To be a number one, you have to at least have one trait you do well. JU had nice route running. Darbo had strong hands and physical. Yeah, Amara Darbo, and if you remember that catch against BYU, I remember once we were talking about, Amara had like an extra forearm muscle that helped him grip the ball and just make those cuts. He did. He showed it. He showed it to us. So, and somebody wrote about it. I forgot who wrote about it. But yeah, Michigan just doesn't seem to have that quality at wide receiver right now. And 6 weeks, 6 games, 6 weeks into the season, 5 games into it, you know, include 6 weeks with a bye week. I think we are starting to see that Michigan's offense just may not be there. I mean, I thought that against Purdue that there were plenty of positives, but at home against Michigan State, this is a time to show some offense. And I mean, Michigan State has a good defense too. I mean, you know, I mentioned that before the game. Anybody who thought that Michigan was going to just roll over Michigan State, I thought was, you know, sadly mistaken. So Big Bubble Blue says it's bigger for State because Michigan always seems to look ahead for some reason. I think that there's something to that, Big Bubble Blue. I really do. CJ Mike 1024, it always has been bigger for Michigan State. This game defines their season. Exactly. And when you harbor that, I mean, I think this term was just stupid and overused anyway, but if you have that little brother mentality in the back of your mind, or underdog mentality in the back of your mind, and you're so used to just being pounded and eventually you start winning, and then you remember, okay, hey, I remember when I used to get my butt kicked all the time, and then you take that with you. I mean, Mark D'Antonio, I think, in terms of the importance on the Michigan game, he could be, you know, kind of dry, or even, you know, maybe even smug. I think that's just his personality. I think that he has a sense of humor to him, and if you don't get it, then he comes across as smug. But I think there's a sense of humor and a sense of, I guess, like a sense of pride when it comes, you know, to Michigan. So he, you know, you see him crack the smiles, and you hear him make the comments and talk about there's no better bus ride and things like that. It's because it is important. It is very important. They all say it's just another game, and Michigan says that too, but, you know, to a lot of them, I don't think that it is just another game. You saw guys crying afterward, but I do think this game has and always will be bigger for Michigan State, and it's partly due, not only history, but a lot to do with Mark D'Antonio, because he does place an emphasis on that. So, Aaron White says, I absolutely believe it's bigger for Michigan State. Harbaugh approaches every game lackadaisical. I lost it. I don't think Harbaugh approaches the game lackadaisical, guys. I mean, it's a loss, so I think fans are upset. And if Michigan won, and then you look back at the way Jim Harbaugh approached it, you'd applaud him because you'd think, oh, well, business as usual. Great job, Jim. You know, keep focused. Keep, you know, I don't agree that he approaches games lackadaisical. I just think that he approaches everyone the same way, at least publicly. But again, that Ohio State loss, he's admitted that that one hurts. This Michigan State loss, this one hurts. The 2015 Michigan State loss, this one hurts. Don't think that he doesn't care. It's just he doesn't show that emotion. And I don't think he's that kind of guy. Mark D'Antonio is different. Mark D'Antonio will show some emotion. Adam. Hey, how's it going, Adam? How is Michigan going to do for the rest of the year? Guys, I said 9-3 I thought was a fair benchmark. If we look at what we've seen on Michigan right now, I do not see a win at Penn State. I don't see a win against Ohio State. Wisconsin, maybe. I mean, maybe we're looking 8-4. I do think Michigan wins one of those games, Wisconsin, Penn State, or Ohio State. Wisconsin's probably the most likely. Big Bubba Blue says, I don't get how after doing great in the run game and one fumble caused them to go pass heavy. CJ Mike, I don't think Drevno is the main problem. I'm looking at our passing game. You can't keep running these 2 to 4 yard crossing routes. I think you can call it a day. Great point, CJ Mike. 10-24, it's year three. We have no standout back, no O-line, and our quarterback play is bad. Can't put it any other way. Play calling is not helping. I do disagree about standout. I do think there are De'Karon Higdon and Chris Evans. I mean, Ty Isaac had a great start, too. I do think there is a standout back, one of those guys. I think it's Chris Evans among those three. But you can't really do a whole lot, especially when a defense knows when you're running game, you're going to follow the left side. They know the right side. You're not going to the right side. And if you watch Michigan film, I mean, that's plain as day. Michigan's not running to the right. It is not going behind on Wanyu and Eluzio or Juwan Bushel-Beatty. It's not happening. So that limits it. You know, that funnels it right there. The defense running the ball, you're going between the tackles or you're going outside of Mason Cole. One of the two. So to me, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I know, okay, I just have to look at that part of the field, seal that off when they run, and boom, it's not rocket science. Jay Marion says, expect a true freshman next year at right tackle. Gary played his best game, I think, says Jay Marion. Cameron Clark, when is our $10 million coach going to win big games? That's a good question, Cameron. Aaron Quinney says, what's up, Adam, always? Watch the YouTube replays, first live video, nice work. Hey, Aaron, I appreciate it, And follow me on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. I try to tweet out showtimes. I'll do one on Monday when I get back from the Monday press conference. My co-host Thomas Bendit and I typically do a Wednesday night preview show. Well, I'll do one on Friday. Sometimes I'll do one after games. I wasn't going to do one last night. I didn't get home until like 2:45. So Mike Sobrowski says, when MSU muffed the punt and fell back to the two with the lucky bounce, his hands, I felt right then, we won't win, couldn't get bounces our way, and that one would have been six. Aaron Quinney says, I already follow you, bro. All right, I appreciate it, Aaron. Thanks. Jeremy Turner, Michigan has to come out faster in the first half. Michigan knew the weather was going to turn. I agree, too. And if I thought this would be a race to two touchdowns and a field goal. Whoever did that was going to win this, and you better get it in the first half. And, I mean, Michigan State, I mean, what did Michigan State do? Michigan State got it in the first half. Michigan State didn't score a single point in the second half. Michigan's defense played pretty well in the second half. Aaron Quinney asked, do you think if the weather doesn't turn, Michigan comes back? I mean, you could think so, but at the same time, I mean, Michigan State had to play in the same weather too. So, I mean, if it could, I'm trying to think of the way, I have it in my head, I'm trying to think of the way. If Michigan could capitalize, basically, they both had to play in this bad weather. So, I mean, if the weather turned, I don't know if that really would make a difference for Michigan. If the weather turned, would Michigan State create more separation? I guess would also be my counterpoint. I mean, if the weather turned, would Michigan State be able to score points in the second half? You know, and, you know, flipping it from your comment, could Michigan come back? Could Michigan State get a bigger lead? So, Jay Marion says, fan, forget this is a young team still. They were going to lose a game like this eventually. And I think that's more than fair. I mean, and it is a young team. And I think you guys do have to take that into account. So, Four Masterful says, you need a call-in podcast. I would love to express myself verbally. I'm going to work on that. I want to hear I would love that. I want to hear, because I read these comments, you don't always get the tone. So let's work on that, guys. I'll see what I can do with that. John Chernetsky. Did I get it? We got it? All right. He says, hold on, what'd he say? I lost your comment, John. I'm over here parading, happy that I pronounced your name correctly. MSU is just as young in front, and that's true too. I mean, Michigan State, look at Michigan State secondary. All of those guys, Justin Lane, sticks out in particular. Josiah Scott's young. I mean, David Dowell at safety, he's young. We're not looking at an experienced veteran defense like these past Michigan State defenses have been. Kyrie Willis, he's probably the elder statesman of that group, but he doesn't have a ton of playing time. I mean, Michigan State, you can use those on both sides. Mike Zabrowski says, got to run at him. We bounce back and we win in Happy Valley, putting us back in the top 10 in 2 weeks. All right, we heard it here first, Mike. I appreciate it. Hey, guys, I'm going to look through those scores. Someone predicted Michigan State to win, so you're going to get a free half chicken or a half steak at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor, MrSpotsAnnArbor.com. I'll announce the winner tomorrow, or maybe later tonight. I'll go through my mentions. I do have to run. I got to go run errands real quick. Go Wolverine says, I don't agree with the young team garbage. The defense has done just fine, but the real issue is offensive coaching. And, I mean, yeah. That's a great point as well. Cameron Clark says, this reminds me of Ohio State losing to Penn State last year. Aaron Quinney, really disappointed in the scheme and creativity of the offense. Very few screens, bubbles, etc. Stuff to get the quarterback easy throws to build confidence. No gadget plays to speak of. Jeremy Turner, Willis from Jacktown. Yes, he is. Lumen Christie, right? Jackson Lumen Christie? Cameron Clark, Kyrie Willis played well. He went to my... Yeah, Lumen. Yeah, because Cameron, you go to Lumen Christie, right? We talked about Lumen Christie baseball, I believe. All right, guys, I gotta cut it short. It's we're already going on 32 minutes, about 10 minutes longer than I wanted to. But thanks again for everybody watching on my on the YouTube live stream. Again, please like, subscribe, share. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow the podcast at MittenSportsMI. You can read all my stuff, Michigan and Michigan State, on FanRag Sports at FanRag_U at FanRag Sports and FanRagSports.com. We'll be at Michigan State Basketball Media Day Wednesday. I'll be at Michigan Jim Harbaugh's weekly press conference tomorrow and availability Tuesday, and get you guys ready for Indiana week. So and again, search on, if you want the audio only version, you can search on iTunes Sports in the Mitten. It's on a FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel and Google Play. So again, I'm Adam Biggers. Appreciate everybody for watching. Thanks for your comments, guys. Jeremy, Rhonda, Cameron. And let me see, Four Masterfuls, as always, Mike Zabrowski, Big Bubba Blue, Jay Marion, if I'm forgetting you, it's not on purpose, Aaron Quinney, I'm just kind of Sherrod Sane, kind of scrolling up here, guys. But yeah, I appreciate it. Vowel Slave, thank you. The Doug Nussmeier conversation was pretty fun. So again, guys, thanks for watching. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow once I get home from Jim Harbaugh's press conference. Have a good night. And if you're a Michigan fan, just remember, your season's not over. Take a deep breath. Things will be okay. I think. Maybe. Maybe. For right now, I think. We'll talk about abandoned ship here in a couple weeks. Maybe even after the Indiana game. But right now, 4-1, still a top 15 ranked team. Not the end of the world. Have a good night, guys. Thanks.